Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Friends, these are difficult days and many people are hurting. There's pain and anger, fear and frustration, strong emotion and confusion. Where do we turn for comfort and direction? In Psalm 61 and Psalm 62, these are some verses that speak through the millennia that our safety and our refuge, the place to look for justice, the place to look for truth, is in the Lord. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O God, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. May God help us to rest in Him.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We are in chapter 3, and we're going to look at most of chapter 4 today also, God willing. It's really hard with these letters that are so connected to just break them into chapters. Bishop Usher did that for us, but his chapter divisions are not inspired. God's Word is inspired. We're going to start at the beginning of chapter 3 today, and God willing, we'll go through verse 13 of chapter 4. So this is God's Word. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all God's household. For Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder has more honor than the house. Now every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household, as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household. And we are that household if we hold on to our confidence and the hope in which we boast. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked to anger with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters. so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who heard and rebelled? Wasn't it all who came out of Egypt under Moses? With whom was God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, since the promise to enter his rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what he has said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Even though his works have been finished since the foundation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Again, in that passage, he says, they will never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, he again specifies a certain day. Today. He specified this speaking through David after such a long time. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. For the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. You want to know what we're supposed to be aiming for? Jesus. Okay? Now, if you're going to aim for Jesus, Jesus says you need to know there's a cross involved. You cannot be my disciple unless you take up your cross and follow me. It's not something designed as a little piece of jewelry. I'm not telling you it's wrong to have cross jewelry. I'm telling you that that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the fact that you've got to be ready to die. And not just die once, but the Bible tells us we've got to die daily. Over and over and over, your flesh is going to try and take you in one direction, and you've got to crucify it. You've got to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. Well, does that mean anything that I want to do, I have to say no? No, it means that everything you want to do, you need to examine in light of God's word and say, is this pleasing to the Lord? If this is pleasing to God, then yes, it's a good thing. If you begin to find that God is changing your desires and that what you're longing for is to be like Jesus, you don't have to die to that. That's his life coming through in you. But if you find yourself tempted to be selfish, cynical, bitter, then you need to repent and say, God, forgive me. I don't want to be like that. Yes, I'm tempted in that way, but I don't want to go there. Please change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I want to be like Jesus. I mean, that's what I'm praying for. I'm going to be 66 this year, and I'm still praying, Lord, make me like Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. Very much a work in progress. Okay? Not there yet. But I'm still pressing on. Because I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And so, consider Jesus. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all God's house. But Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses. Now, what he's doing here, and remember, he's writing to Jewish people. This is beautiful. He says, you remember Moses? Remember how Moses was faithful? He says, Jesus was faithful, but Moses is not as great as Jesus. See, they're thinking, yeah, I guess that's true. Jesus is great like Moses. He's saying, no, Moses was great. Jesus is greater. He's already started out in those first two chapters doing a comparison with the angels, and he's saying, Jesus, you know, the angels are great. Jesus is greater. Now, he's talking about Moses. He says, Moses was great. Moses was faithful. Jesus is greater. Consider Jesus and his faithfulness. Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder has more honor than the house. That's a great line. The builder has more honor than the house. Now, every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. And Jesus, brothers and sisters, is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household, as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household. And we are that household if we hold on to our confidence in the hope in which we boast. Now, he introduces a concern there. He's already been warning us in the opening chapters, don't drift away, don't neglect this great salvation. But now he's again talking about, and this is going to run through this letter, you got to finish the race. You can't just pick up your card and then go your own way, and at the end you get there and you say, oh, it's all right, I get in. No. Those who trust in Christ follow Christ. Those who trust in Christ obey Christ. And that is so clear in this passage if you look at the difference between the words that are used to mean the same thing. Look at verse 17 of chapter 3. With whom was God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it with those who sinned? Okay? Look at verse 18. Those who disobeyed. Look at verse 19. And so we see they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience. I thought verse 19 of chapter 3 said they didn't enter because of unbelief. It did. And in chapter 4, verse 6, it says they didn't enter because of disobedience. Well, look back at the verses we just cited right before that in chapter 3. It was those who sinned. It was those who disobeyed. That is unbelief. You can't say, I believe, and keep going your own way. So are you saying we're saved by works? I'm saying, no, you're saved by faith. But faith manifests itself in obedience to God. Look at the end. Don't lose your place here in Hebrews, but look at the end of John chapter 3. We see the same thing there. John chapter 3, verse 36. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who disobeys the Son, that would be your best translation there. You can look in your footnote in your Bible and you'll see it. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who disobeys the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Now, why do you say that would be the best translation? Because the word is the same whether you're talking about obey or believe. If you trust him, you obey him. Does that mean if I ever disobey him, I never really was saved? No. Thank you for asking. What that means is, what's the trajectory of your life? What is your lifestyle? What is the way in which you walk? How many of you have ever been on your way somewhere and tripped and fell? Man, I've had some spectacular falls. My wife and I were staying at a little cabin over in Western Carolina one time, enjoying a little time away, a little time off. It was precious. Our friends loaned us their cabin in Highlands, North Carolina. But it rained and rained and rained. Their driveway was not paved. And all I had in the way of an umbrella was a little tiny thing. So I handed that to my wife and I said, honey, you take the umbrella, go get in the car, and I'll run out and get in the driver's side. Well, she made it just fine, kind of stepping gingerly through the mud. She got there and she got into the car, and then I made my dash. But somehow the upper part of my body and the lower part of my body didn't stay in sync, and I looked like a cartoon, okay? My feet went out from under me, and I spent a little time like Wile E. Coyote floating in the air, and then boom, just splat. And I had mud from the soles of my shoes up to the top of my head on one side. Just, I got up, got in the car, and my wife tried to control her laughter. All right, here's the thing. I'm not still lying in the mud. I tripped, I fell, I didn't say, hey, it's not so bad down here, I'm already dirty, I might just stay. You understand? If you're going to follow Jesus, you've got your eyes on him. You're going to go in his way, doing what he wants, and sometimes you may trip, but you will not stay down. You're going to get up and you're going to run the race. That's what this is talking about. That's the Christian life. It's not saying if you ever mess up, you're going to hell. It's saying if you don't continue to persevere, you are never really one of his. Can a Christian sometimes turn aside? Yes. I was sharing recently with a group of wonderful young Christians about Galatians, where Paul says that Peter got so far off course that he had to be confronted by Paul because he was guilty of cowardice and hypocrisy, and he was leading others astray, including Barnabas. Paul didn't write him off. Paul confronted him publicly because he was a public leader. And when he confronted him, Peter, because the Holy Spirit lived in him, repented. He didn't say, hey, who are you to judge? You used to kill Christians. He didn't do that. He repented. He changed. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit lives inside you. It's not that you never mess up. It's that you don't lie in the mud and make it your home. So, there's a warning. We are his household if we hold on to our confidence and the hope in which we boast. Those who do not need to take warning from what happened to the Israelites who came out of Egypt but didn't make it into the promised land. Why did they not make it into the promised land? Because they persisted in sin rather than in faith. So I swore in my anger, chapter 3, verse 11, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Instead, what should you be doing? But encourage each other daily, while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. Did you catch that word? Sin's deception. Sin will trick you. Sin deceives. Sin will promise you the world. Oh, you'll be happy. Sin can't deliver. You end up empty. You end up miserable. Think of all the people. Nobody starts out saying, you know, I want to be hooked on drugs. That's my goal. Nobody does. They don't want to be addicted. They just want to get high. Nobody wants to become the empty, tragic person who wastes this life and then stumbles into hell. Nobody wants that. But that's where most people go. Pastor Wood, you're being judgmental. No, I'm quoting Jesus. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. That's what Jesus said. I'm telling you, you don't want to go down that road. Sin will deceive you. Don't let sin deceive you. Instead, encourage one another daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. So, there remains for the people of God a true rest. Verse 11 of chapter 4. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. Okay, I don't know how those two go together. It means don't let anything stand in the way of your resting in Him. Don't let anything, religiosity, rules and regulations, all kinds of other stuff that people try and put on you, all kinds of stuff that comes up in your flesh, don't let anything keep you from just trusting in Jesus. He's the only hope. And for those who put their trust in Him, it's glorious. Beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. We who have believed enter that rest. So, okay, what do I need to believe? How do I know what's true, what's right? How do I enter that rest? Chapter 4, verse 12 and following. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You want to know if what you're thinking of doing or feeling drawn toward is right? Check it out with the word of God, because God's word will judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. That's how you enter the rest, is you study God's word, believe and obey. Do what God says. What does God say about that? Have you ever not asked God because you didn't want to know the answer? I have. I've not asked God because I was trying to follow my own understanding. Even though one of the first scriptures I learned as a preschooler was trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. But there have been times when I haven't done that. I've just thought, oh, I got this. Wrong. Ask Him. Say, God, what do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want. This looks right to me. If that's not right, please correct me because I want to do your will. And there have been times when things looked right to me and God absolutely confirmed that that's it. There have been other times when things look right to me and God says, I know that looks right, but that's not what I want you to do. So do you, like, before you step off the platform at the end of the thing, say, God, should I step down those stairs? No. I say, God, before I do anything today, I want you to direct my steps. If God doesn't want me to step down off the platform, I am counting on Him to show me not to do that. And He's trustworthy. Because if you want to do the will of God, God will make sure that you're in step with His Spirit. But if you think, I'll check in later with you if I need anything, get ready for some mud. You will fall flat. And if you do, don't lie there. Get up.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-4141-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.